Blog Talk Radio.
It's not letting me play. Wait a minute. Oh, here we go. Oh, here we go. Oh, here we go.
Blog Talk Radio. You are now in the host queue. Blog Talk Radio.
This week we're all off here. We're going to give you the greatest comments we can. And remember, if you are listening, we say something you want to talk about, call us 646-668-8740. Again, 646-668-8740. And we'd love it if you let us call in and ask questions or want to ask a question. One of the things I didn't want to start with, but I guess I would have with it while we're being organized here is we have had our 200 mass shootings in the United States just recently. And that's, you know, that's crazy that we're having that. And I was looking at the news, and it says that Texas Representative Cellular rejects the calls for stricter laws, saying shootings happen in blue states too, not just red. And to turn this all political, because he doesn't want to, you know, do anything with gun laws because he's political in a sense. That's kind of crazy to me. Anyway, I thought I'd throw that out there. Darius, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, hello, David. Thank you for calling on me first, and hello to the panel. Didn't we just pass some gun laws earlier this year after a mass shooting? I think that we had a bipartisan bill come across where they passed another gun law. And, you know, I've said this constantly, that laws are not the issue. Passing more gun laws only restricts the freedoms of law-abiding citizens. We have laws in place now to prevent things like this from happening, but they keep happening. We have gun-free zones. We have laws against people. There's a law against murder. That doesn't deter anybody. So passing more laws is just symbolism. You know, it's virtue signaling. But it doesn't solve anything, because people who are out to break laws, are out to hurt people or murder, are not at all deterred by laws. There's no one that's going to say, oh, I can't have a sawed-off shotgun, so therefore I'm not going to commit this mass murder that I was thinking about. Or I can't have an AR, so I'm not going to commit this murder. It's ridiculous. It solves nothing at all. And like I said, it only restricts the law-abiding. You know, it's not for the lawless, but it's for the law-abiding that it hurts the most.
I think what I get from you is you're thinking they're going to pass laws for the criminals. I think that the laws should be passed for the people selling weapons and those kinds of things. There should be laws on making it more difficult to get the weapons, not those who have it and which you're going to go to jail and all that. That's already done. I don't think that we politically have captured the people selling the weapons well enough so that these weapons get into other people's hands. What are your thoughts on that, Ron?
Thank you, David. As I said to you earlier, you know, I'm really sick and tired of talking about this. It makes no sense to waste anybody's time really to talk about this, because nothing is ever going to happen. I hate to sound really pessimistic now, but I'm really sick and tired of it. I mean, this country, we should be ashamed of ourselves, okay? Darius, you know, I understand what you're saying. I hear you. But let's face it, you know, the problem is there's too many guns in this country, because we are the only civilized nation in the world that leads those countries in the number of mass shootings that we have. It's crazy. It's ridiculous. I'm sick and tired of it. So why don't we try something radical and see if it works? And if it doesn't, we can revert back to the way things are now. Why don't we automatically, anybody that commits a mass shooting gets the death penalty immediately? That's number one. Number two, crack down on gun sales and make it harder for people to buy guns, okay? And if you have a politician that doesn't believe in that, vote them out of office. You know, unless we do drastic things, nothing is ever going to change, because this country, there's too many guns out there, and I understand it's the Second Amendment, which, by the way, I don't disagree with the fact that we should be able to protect ourselves. I do agree with that. But, you know, this is out of control. people in this country are crazy. We are barbaric. You know, look at what happened in New York City with the homeless guy that had some mental illness, and now he's dead. You know, and he wasn't really threatening anybody. He was just asking for food, water, and you know, he was fed up. And you know, it's shameful. It's shameful what's happening in this country. And unless we need to stop talking about it, because nothing's changing. We just need to vote people out of office and do something drastic. And if it doesn't change, once we do drastic things, guess what? If people know that they're going to be facing the death penalty, no matter, no jury, forget the, I was going to say a bad word, forget the damn jury. If you commit a mass shooting, you automatically get the death penalty instantly. I'm done.
All right. Michael, what are your thoughts?
All right. Thank you for calling on me, David. Yeah, you know what? I got to echo everything Ron just said. Like everything Ron just said, I wanted to say. I agree with everything you said, Ron. So I'm just going to piggyback off of you. Hey, number one, first and foremost, I'm tired of talking about this, just like Ron said, to the point when it was on CNN or whatever channel or news channel I was watching, I literally changed the channel. Like, I didn't even want to hear about it. And I love watching the news, but anytime a news outlet reported on the shooting in Allen, Texas, I recently changed the channel because I was just so tired of it. Because nothing's going to get done, like Ron said. And I hate to make it political as well, but it is political. There's no reason for there to be 400 million guns in this country when there's only 300 million people. There's more guns in this country than people. It's all about the Second Amendment. Let's talk about that real quick. And for those who don't know, the Constitution has amendments that we all must live by. The second one is the right to bear arms. So it's in the DNA of our country, because we're a violent, bloodshed country that we are. It's in our DNA to be violent. It's just there. So I think we need to revisit this Second Amendment. I really do. I think we need to revisit the Second Amendment and have it rewritten. We've amended it in the past. We've amended the Second Amendment. We've amended it in regards to you can't have a gun if you have a felony. So it can be legislated to a certain extent. But the Republicans refuse to legislate it. David, Darius, Ron, it's the NRA. The NRA, the National Rifle Association, they got the Republicans in their back pocket, okay? So as long as the Republican Party is standing strong against any sort of gun legislation or anything to do with this, it's going to just continue to happen. So that's, I don't want to talk about it anymore. That's all I got to say about it.
All right, Don, what are your thoughts?
Thanks for calling on me, David, and hello to my fellow brothers on the panel. Well, three strikes, y'all. I ditto everything that I've heard thus far. I'm tired of it. I'm sick and tired of it. America has a heart problem, and you can't legislate a heart problem. We got a killing heart problem obsessed with guns. Why do we need so many guns? Why do we need so many guns? Why do we protect the NRA under the auspices that they teach people how to use a weapon? Doggone it, I don't need to know how to use a weapon. Just pull the trigger if I want to kill somebody. You can't teach me that. My heart is the problem. We need to use drastic measures like you said, Ron and Michael. Drastic measures. If you commit mass murder, you get mandatory life, even death penalty yourself. I mean, you never heard me say that, but I'm tired of this. I'm tired of people obsessed with taking a gun and going into a supermarket, grocery store, or a public facility, school, and just start shooting people. That's a heart condition, a total disrespect for a person, of human being, not black, not white, not Republican, not Democrat, but human being. I'm tired.
All right. Well, that is, you know, a subject that I didn't want to bring it, but we can't stop not bringing it up, because all the men who listen to the show need to know in their minds, we know what we're thinking, because this is, you know, out of control, and elections help make it under control. But then their thoughts, we can move on. But what I want to do is start
I'm sorry. Can I offer a rebuttal?
Sure.
Since my name was mentioned. Okay, since my name was mentioned a few times. I agree with Ron on one thing. Death penalty, absolutely. Those guys that committed those mass shootings in Florida and New Jersey or whatever, I mean, they didn't get the death penalty. They got life. So I agree with that. If you don't get life, or if you don't get the death penalty for mass shootings, especially of innocent children, they need to do away with the death penalty altogether. So I agree with that. I agree with Don in the sense of it's a heart condition. You can't create a godless society or create a society where God can't even be mentioned. You can't even pray in public, can't pray before a game, or you can't assemble and pray on a public ground. You can't do away with God, have godlessness, and then be upset when people don't have any sense of a God conscience. That's the main issue. And that's what Don is talking about a heart condition. Now, here's where we part ways. David talked about passing laws against the people who manufacture guns and sell guns. You guys talked about maybe abolishing the Second Amendment. And what I'm asking you is, who is going to abide by that? Who is going to, are you trying to tell me that the Crips and the Bloods, Michael, are going to say, you know what, we got to get rocks now and throw rocks, or we got to get knives? Are you guys serious right now? The only people will be unarmed. Hold, let me finish. The only people that will be unarmed is the law-abiding, the people who need protection against the evil that's out there. So what you guys are talking about is nonsense. More laws are only going to handicap and bootstrap us, the innocent people that are trying to protect our families. Yes. Sorry. So I don't disagree with what you're saying, but here's my rebuttal to that. So let's change everything around and let's change the laws, and then law-abiding citizens, you can have one gun, that's it, you know, no semi-automatic weapons, nothing like that, one gun to protect yourself, number one. Number two, if the Bloods and the Crips, if they start killing people and they start being put to death, okay, the death penalty, or whoever is killing people, go to the death penalty, eventually we're going to run out of the bad people, and we're going to be in a better place. Don't you agree with that? No, we'll never run out of evil. We'll never run out of bad people. Killings have been going on since the beginning of time. We will never run out. And I appreciate your optimism, but that will never, ever happen in this world. Never.
I was just going to say that you said it's a heart issue, and Don said this too, and I don't disagree, but why is it a heart issue in this country and not any other civilized country in the Western world? How do you answer that?
I'm glad you asked that, because I meant to address that when you said that we're a barbaric nation. We're not a barbaric nation, and this nation, like Michael said, is not founded on that. This country is not cutting the heads off of, they're not throwing homosexuals off of bridges and off the top of the building.
That's not in the
I'm saying you're talking about barbarism, and I'm telling you countries that actually do this, and you're trying to say we're the worst.
Right.
But what I'm telling you is
you can't compare us to a third world.
Well, you didn't say that. You said we're the most violent country in the world.
In the Western civilized world.
Oh, come on now. Now you guys want to go ahead and you want to label it. That's fine. If you want to do that, you should have said that in the beginning.
You can't compare us to Iran, Iraq, Syria, any Arab country. You can't compare us to that.
Why can't I? They're not third world countries. Saudi Arabia is not a third world country. Iran is not a third world country.
They have different belief systems. That's why I said the Western civilized world.
No, you didn't qualify that before, Ron. You're qualifying it now after I'm proving that you're wrong, and you're very wrong. Now you want to qualify your statement. You should have done that in the beginning.
No,
but I'll accept it.
I don't believe I'm wrong.
You're dead wrong. We don't do any of those things. Do you know that
There are governments that could commit mass genocide against its own people. They don't care what
do you know that our government has been accused and has been found to do the water dropping or whatever that's called on prisoners of war and torturing prisoners. Our country does that
to
other
countries. That's prisoners of war. Now we're getting off focus now. So I'll turn it back to David because now we're getting off topic. So.
All right, let's bring that one. We had this discussion so many times, and we're not able to put a thumb on it right now, but I'm sure we will. We think about it. But let's move on to Ron. What did you want to bring to the table this week?
Well, since I brought it up already, why don't we talk about Jordan Neely, the 24-year-old, and I'll bring up the race because I think eventually it's going to come up in the conversation. Black guy who was homeless, and he was acting erratically in a New York City subway. And let me see here. Who happens to be white, put him in a chokehold, and his attorneys, Marines' attorneys, are saying it was self-defense. But yet I was reading the story right before coming on the air that all that Jordan Neely, the one that was killed, was doing was saying, you know, he was hungry, he's thirsty, and he's fed up. And then I started reading about his background and his mental illness and what happened to his mother, and, you know, his family, and I don't know what to think. I mean, I think definitely for sure the fact that he was basically murdered is wrong because I don't think I know he didn't have any weapons from what I've read, although all the details are not out yet. He didn't have any weapons and he wasn't accosting anybody. So he just was, you know, saying a few things, you know, like if you've ever ridden in the New York City subway, it happens all the time. I mean, but I personally think if this was a white guy that was doing the same thing, I don't think he would have been put in a chokehold and strangled to death. So I'm curious to hear what the other panelists think about this.
So what is the outcome of what you're trying to get to, Ron? What are you saying, actually?
So I'm saying that I think the Marine, even though his attorney say he was acting in self-defense, I think this needs to be investigated further. And if there's nobody being threatened with their lives, then the Marine needs to pay the consequences like anybody else.
All right. Anybody have any comments on that?
Yeah, can I take that one? Yeah, can I take that one, David?
Yes.
Yeah, I've actually been following that case as well, Ron, and everyone that listens to the show knows I'm the first one to jump on it when I think there's, you know, racial bias or racial discrimination in certain incidents. This one, I'm going to take my time. I'm not going to just, it's because he was black and the guy was white bandwagon on this particular case, and I'm going to tell you why. Because I've ridden on subways in New York City, and I do understand how there are always crazy people on there that do crazy things, like really crazy things, like stabbings and really snatching persons, very harmful things. So I understand the environment they were in. I clearly understand that. Now, from the video I saw, did he know he was choking the guy or was he just trying to detain the guy? That I don't know yet. And also, Ron, keep in mind, in the city of New York, there's a black mayor, Eric Adams. The police chief is black. The district attorney, Bragg, is black. So they're really, really looking at this. And for none of them to have jumped on the racist bandwagon ship yet, that also gives me pause to go, okay, what really happened here? Should he be charged with a homicide or was it self-defense? Because maybe the guy was attacking other passengers on that subway. Maybe he was some crazy guy that was really attacking maybe a child, a woman or something. And this Marine feels like, hey, I got to protect these people on here from this guy. And not knowing he was choking him at the same time. I'm not saying that's what happened. It could have been the racist bandwagon, but I'm going to be cautious on this one, Ron, and wait for all the evidence to come out.
That's all right. John, what are your thoughts? All right. Maybe he doesn't have any thoughts. Let's move on. So, Darius, what did you like to bring to the table this week?
Can I comment on the Michael Mealy situation?
Sure.
Okay. I'm really proud of you, Michael. I'm glad to hear that you're reserving judgment until you get all the facts. And, you know, I'd expected you to be the first one to stand out there and fly that race flag, man. But you didn't pull that car yet, man. So I'm very proud of you. That's smart. also wanted Ron to know that there was a black guy that assisted in subduing him. And in addition to what Michael said, you got a black mayor, you got a black DA. So it's not a race thing, and they're going to try to make it a race thing. But yeah, Ron, you might be off on that one because there was also a black man involved as well. But it's not your fault because you have some people that immediately jumped and said it was racism, and you had a representative say it was a lynching, and you know, just some ridiculous comments. Let's remember, this man has been arrested almost 50 times, Ron. So he wasn't just an innocent guy just saying I want something to eat. He's been arrested almost 50 times. One of his most gruesome crimes is he punched an 80-something-year-old grandmother in the face, dislocated her eyes from her eye socket, crushed her eye, almost blinded her. So this guy has been arrested for violent acts before. So it's not just a guy just saying, oh, can somebody please give me something to eat.
I didn't know that.
Over 50 times. Also, I wanted to, David asked me what I wanted to talk about. So this is how this ties into it. I'm so curious as to why we know the name of Michael Mealy, but we don't know the names of the people who've been shoved onto the train tracks, the people who've been assaulted, the lady who was raped on a subway in broad daylight in front of people, people who had their skulls cracked and crushed on the subway. We know the names. It seems like the left is more concerned with the perpetrator than they are with defending the actual law-abiding citizens. And that goes back to the same thing with these guns. We want to put laws in place. We want to protect. We want to hurt and punish the law-abiding citizens and let the criminals run free. And so we know the names of all the people that the left want to hold up and say, oh, this person right here is a victim of society. You know, they held up the trans person who killed those kids in Tennessee. You know, that person has been held in the same level as the innocent kids that have been held. The Tennessee 3 congressmen who got kicked out of Congress for breaking decorum, they got invited to the White House. Christian parents of those children who got killed didn't get an invitation to the White House. Kamala Harris was in town. She was in the city. She went and visited with the congresspeople, but she didn't even mention the parents of those kids who got killed. So it just seems like the left is, you know, AOC and everybody, they didn't come out when all these crimes were happening in New York and saying, we need to do something about the crime in my district, in my city. They didn't say anything about that, but they want to come and use the person who's the victimizer as some sort of example of what America is. And I'm just curious, and maybe you guys can help me with that right there, is why the left is always doing that.
Well, I think it's time for me to chime in now, David. I didn't respond because if I don't know anything about a topic, I won't respond. But Darius gave me a prelude to what I'd like to bring up behind what he just said. You said the left does not respond. Well, Darius, what about the right responding to the Proud Boys? Stand up, stand down, stand down, stand down. And here we have the proud boys were just found guilty. Now, they said they were protecting the president, and the president made a drastic statement asking them to stand down. Now, will the president be tied to the Proud Boys when they get punished? Should we punish the president, former President Trump, because he was backing up the Proud Boys? What do you say about that?
I like how you answer a question with a question. I mean, I don't mind addressing that, but can we get past my question first? Since I posed my question first, can we deal with that?
Well, you brought up the left and the right, and it has nothing to do with the left and the right.
It has everything to do with the left. It has everything to do with the left because it's the left that's always running out every time a murderer or the perpetrator commits an act. They're always running out there and they're upholding this person and they martyr this person when they don't care anything about the people that they victimize. I mean, we can go all the way back to George Floyd. George Floyd, nobody remembers the names of the single mom with her kids when George Floyd broke and invaded her home and assaulted her and stole from her, a single mom with kids, or the people in the neighborhood who got checked. Nobody knows their names. And what I'm saying is the left is always, for some reason, on the side of the perpetrator when they're brought to justice. And
okay,
I get what you're saying, but the Proud Boys has nothing to do with this. This is a totally different situation we're talking about right now.
Okay. Well, Derek, I'm on the left, so let me defend the left real quick. You and I are around the same age, Darius. So you and I both remember a time when the perpetrator, if the perpetrator was a black man, he would always get plastered over the news. You remember times when the victim was a black person of color, they would never, ever, ever, ever get any media coverage. You remember those times, Darius. And I'm talking way before George Floyd. I'm talking like when you and I were teenagers and when you and I were younger men and before that. Okay, so to say over the last 5 years, it's been a little unbalanced, meaning anytime the perpetrator is a white man, they plaster his picture all over the TV. Okay, maybe so for the last 5 years, but the last 200 years, it's been the other way. So how about you? Let's have that conversation. One thing about you, Darius, you never like to start your conversations from the beginning. So let's start this conversation from the beginning and see why is it this way. Is that fair
enough? I love the way you guys deflect. I asked a simple question. I didn't ask anything about what happened in the 60s. I didn't ask anything about what happened 200 years ago. I asked a simple question, and you nor Don can't answer it, so you want to deflect. It's the Proud Boys. Oh, it's what happened, 100 years ago. I'm talking about today. I'll be happy to have that conversation with you guys about what happened hundreds of years ago. I'm talking about right now, where we are right now. And it wasn't just 40 years.
What happened,
goes all the way back. This
happened,
goes all the way back.
What happened years ago? We're living the results of what happened years ago. That's what he's saying.
Thank you. Absolutely.
So people who weren't even born that are going out in the streets, blacks killing blacks. Because if you guys are really concerned about the gun violence, you would address the most serious and the most gruesome gun violence, which is black young men on other black young men, which pales in comparison to the mass shootings. There will be, since that incident with Michael Neely getting killed by the Marine, there have probably been about 20 to 30 black men that have died since that day at the hands of other black men, and nobody's talking about it. You don't care that Michael Neely is dead. You care that the wrong person killed Michael Neely. You care that it wasn't a black kid that shot him. Because if a black kid shot him, we would not even know his name. And let's just be real, Democrats.
Okay, Darius, once again, let's start the conversation from the beginning, because I do agree with you that there's a larger concentration of gun violence in the black community. I totally concede that argument to you. You're absolutely right. It's just ridiculous how these young black men are just killing each other left and right every day. It is horrible. I agree with you on that, but let's from the beginning as well. Why are these young black men in this one little concentrated area with no resources, no money, no nothing other than these millions of guns they got? Why is that? Okay, it's because of years of redlining, years of racism. It's flooding those communities. The majority
majority of those guys in those communities have felonies and cannot walk in the store and purchase. Funny that millions of guns are just available to them in their community. That's not an accident, Darius. So let's have that conversation as to why are these young black men in this condition to where they got all these guns and they're killing each other. Let's have that conversation.
And the thing is, those guns were put on the street, Darius, by the Reagan administration and the Contras. I mean, come on. You know, during that period of time, let's look at the past. They flooded the black community with guns. And then they flooded the black community with crack cocaine. I mean, come on. It was genocide, total genocide. And we're living the results of that today.
Okay,
not to mention the liquor store on every corner.
I want to start off with this. I want to preface my comments with this. I love you guys. I really do. I consider you guys friends of mine, and Michael knows that. But that mentality, that logic right there, you said you want to know why. That's the reason why. Because we got a freaking excuse for bad behavior. We got a freaking excuse for every bad decision. We got a freaking excuse for immorality. That kind of behavior right there, that kind of logic is why these black kids are running amok and killing one another in the streets, because nobody wants to step up and say, you, sir, are responsible for your actions. You, mom, are responsible for your kids. You, dad, who left the home, you're responsible for your kids. You're responsible for raising them. But no, you want to blame the white man. You want to blame the government. You do not want to accept accountability, and that's why our community is failing. That's why we're killing our babies, and we're killing one another at a disproportionate rate. And as long as you guys keep making excuses for it and don't stand up as men, we will continue down this path until it's total and absolute destruction. And I say that out of love. Really, guys.
Darius, you're right. We have to stand up, but we have to do it one family at a time. It was such a devastating effect. I mean, there was a time when the black male couldn't even come home because the government had him on welfare, had the woman on welfare to keep the black male out of the home. So therefore, the male didn't come home to be a father. I mean, we got so much to repair. We got so much to repair. The guns that were put in the black community to kill black people, the drugs that were put in the black community to kill black people. There is, let me tell you, it's going to take time, and it's going to take one family at a time. We need more people like you, like Michael, like myself, that are speaking up against this atrocity and the things that are happening, and David as well, and the things that are happening in the black community. I mean, we can't change it overnight. We got to change it one day at a time, one person at a time. One person reach one. I'm not happy with it, Darius, and you're not happy with it either. But how do we change it? We got to change it one person at a time, one family at a time.
All right, Dylan, let's get further on in the conversation here. I'm going to go. We have some questions, once again, that I got from some of our listener, female listeners that want to ask. But before I do that, I want to find out, Don, was there something you wanted to bring to the table?
Well, I kind of led into it with the Proud Boys, and that's what I was going to talk about. But I think we all got the answer to that one real quick. They're found guilty, and I'm waiting to see the verdict. I'm waiting to see the punishment for that.
All right. Michael, did you have something you want to bring to the table?
Yeah, I do, and I'm calling on me, David. I just want to talk about the economy real quick for 1 second. Everyone needs to be cautious of where we are in the economy right now. You know, the regional banks are failing. So I just wanted to put that out there that we have another bank that's getting ready to fail. We've had three banks fail within the last couple of weeks or so. and that's unusual. So, young people, you weren't around in 2008. I was. It was really bad when the economy failed and all the banks failed. So, yeah, I just wanted to make that known and just throw that out there, David, that everyone should watch their money right now because our economy is in for a windfall.
Right. Okay. Any comments on that, Ron?
I don't have a lot of information, so I really can't say, but I'm sitting here and I'm not worried yet. Okay. I know this is unusual, but I think the pandemic really threw a lot of curveballs at everybody around the world. So I'm sitting tight here and I'm not panicking yet.
Okay. All right. What about you, Darius?
That was very astute, Michael. To look at that because it is a major concern. We had another bank fail. I think it was Republic. They just failed this week. Chase brought them up. So we do have to be aware and alert. And I'm gonna try to keep this nonpartisan because it happens on both sides. So you cannot. Everything has to cost something. You cannot print money as a nation out of thin air and expect there to be no repercussions. The problem that we're having with the banking industry is very simple. We printed up a lot of money and inflation happened. And in order to control inflation, we had to raise interest rates, which affected the lending rates that the banks had and affected the long-term bond. There's no value there. Banks can't make any money, and if the person made out the loan, they have to pay it back. They're going to lose, and it's going to collapse. And right now, there's a bill, you guys know, on the debt ceiling. The Republicans are saying, we'll raise the debt ceiling, but we got to have some fiscal responsibility here. And the Democrats are not coming to the table at all. Like Joe Biden is not even willing to discuss it. We cannot continue down this path. We cannot continue to let migrants come across the border and give them food and give them shelter and give them health care. We cannot do that because we can't afford it. And so it's not just the Democrats. I want to make this very clear. Donald Trump spent a lot of money when he was in office as well. Most of it was because of COVID, but it's both spending. And so we have to really take a serious look, guys, at where we're going. And we keep saying, oh, America's the richest country in the world. We should be able to take on these immigrants. No, we're not. We're flat broke. We're in debt. And so this is why this is happening. And I just want to say, guys, you might want to pay attention to it, like Michael was saying.
All right.
If I may just dive in just a little bit more to that, David, just to underscore the point, Darius, I was with you all the way except for the political part. Okay. The Republicans right now, what they're telling the Democrats is, hey, we'll raise the debt limit, but we want to cut spending. I agree with that. We need to cut the spending, Darius. You're right. But what I disagree is the Republicans want to cut spending on programs that are important to poor people. They want to cut spending on food stamps and child care and WIC and things that help poor people. They don't want to cut spending on the Pentagon, which is an $800 billion check they send out every year. They don't want to cut that check. So that's the issue I have. And I'm sorry for cutting you off, David.
No problem. All right. Any more comments on that? All right. Hey, David.
I think we're in for a real serious situation. There's going to be more bank failures. I mean, we're in a real financial crunch right now. I mean, we got countries like Russia and China, Iraq, Iran, and these countries are banding together to devalue the dollar. Think about that. These countries are banding together to devalue the dollar. And you know what the biggest prize is? Africa. We're in for a
and you know what, Don? And Don, you are so right. Not only to devalue it, but to change the dollar from being the world currency. It's already happened in Brazil. It's already happened in Brazil, which is our neighbor to the south. I think Venezuela also is switching to Chinese currency. So there are already countries that, for the first time ever, are opting out as having the U.S. dollar as their primary source or their primary currency for trading.
Amen. That's exactly what's happening right now, right before our very eyes. And we can't be in denial in this situation. It's happening right before our very eyes right now.
All right. Okay. Let's go into some of the questions that we've been asked to answer by some of our listeners, some of the female listeners anyway. The first one is, do any of you ever worry about what your friends think of the attractiveness of your significant other, girlfriend, or wife? What about you, Ron? What are your thoughts on that one?
Wait, I didn't understand the question at all. Can you repeat that, David?
Do you ever worry about what your friends think of the attractiveness of your significant other, your girlfriend, or your wife?
Got it. No, I don't think so. Because, I mean, maybe when I was younger, but now I really don't care. As long as it's somebody that I like, I don't really care if anybody else likes a person or not. So I would say no.
What about you, Michael?
That's going to be a hard no for me. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So I'm pretty sure I've had women that I thought was gorgeous and my friends thought were not so gorgeous, because I know I've got friends that have dated some ugly women, but they thought were the most beautiful women in the world. So no, I could care less what anyone has to say as long as I'm happy.
All right. What about you, Don?
No, David. In fact, I think I have a gorgeous wife, and I like that. I don't want anything that other people don't want, to be very truthful with you. I think it's a tremendous compliment to the wife, to the mother, to the wife. I mean, don't buy no ugly woman.
All right, Darius, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, it's like Michael said, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. You know, as long as you think that you have the most beautiful woman, then it doesn't really matter what anyone else thinks. But I will say that we would be lying to ourselves if, when we walk into a room and we got our woman on the arm, you know, we want people to say, man, you've got a gorgeous, you know, he's got a gorgeous wife, or he's got a gorgeous woman, you know. So we'd be lying if we say, oh, I don't care. As long as I think she's pretty, it doesn't matter. It does matter, but it's not, I mean, it's not significant, because what matters is what I care for. Because I'm the one that's got to lay down at night and look her in the face and look at her in the morning, and vice versa. So, no, it doesn't carry a significant amount of weight, but it does matter a little bit.
All right, here's another question. I'm with someone who buys me flowers to make me smile. What would be something I could do similarly for him that is non-sexual that would brighten his day? What do you think, Ron?
I don't know. So something as simple as saying something nice about me would brighten my day and make me happy.
All right.
It doesn't have to be something, something of monetary value. I'll put it that way.
Okay, Michael, what would you say?
Well, I'm just going to give the hard truth, and I hate to be so blunt with the young lady who posed the question, but nothing's going to make him more happy than having sex with him. That's what he really wants. That's why he bought you the flowers. Hopefully he'll get some mad honey later on tonight. So, I mean, that's just the honest truth.
The question was non-sexual.
Yeah, I know, and I'm telling you, there ain't nothing other than sex, so there is no answer to that question. The answer is, it's like saying, how can I drink water other than getting water? It's like, you can't. You got to give them the sex. That's what he bought you the flowers for.
All right. Okay,
John,
what are your thoughts?
Hey, Michael, I agree with you, bro. I mean, where's the nookie? Come on here. Why don't you say, hey, honey, I would be remiss if I didn't say, we need to get sexual tonight. Can we do that? I mean, what's wrong with that?
All right.
The truth hurts sometimes. The truth hurts.
Welcome to the table, Bruce. I think you heard the question. What would be your answer?
It's easy. First of all, Michael, keep that other head in your pants. It doesn't always have to be about sex. And from my experience of a few more years than Don and I are about close, but some of you youngsters, the more you don't ask for it and do wonderful things for your girlfriend or spouse, the more you will get. It's very simple. And I'm living proof of that. You don't have to focus on that all the time. Just be, as Ron said, be kind, little gestures, things that help. And you will, and the goodness will be bestowed upon you.
All right, Bruce, you're just coming on board. Was there something you wanted to bring to the table this week?
Yeah, I was disturbed by the cherry, and Don and I love our cherries up here in Michigan, but this is a different kind of cherry picking. Michael, don't know if he'd like it. If he does come to Michigan, we'll put you to work with me. But cherry picking of the news. I understood. I didn't see it, but I understood then that when that poor sick man was threatening and then he was wrestled to the ground, not a good situation all around, that the third guy that was black was, in some of the newscasts, was edited out of the picture. Is that true? Do anybody know that? That's what I want to know.
All right. Anybody can answer that question? We're not sure, Bruce.
No,
well,
I don't know.
If it was, that's very disturbing because news should be the news. Good, the bad, the ugly, not the partial good, partial, or cherry picking, as I call it. That's the furthest thing from good news. So that's what I want to get off my chest. If it's such, it's terrible.
All right. Let me go back to the questions our listeners are asking. And they're going to vary, but next week we'll get different ones. But this week, there's a question. What do you men think of fatherhood? Do you think the treatment of fatherhood is fair compared to motherhood? So, Bruce, answer that one.
Well, the women, motherhood is, it gets a lot more doted over, and I don't have a problem with that for a lot of reasons, whether they're the ones at home or they're holding down a job or nothing. If you truly love your spouse, I know you guys are going to think I'm corny. But if she gets doubted on more than I do, I'm perfectly fine with that because she's and the kids see her more often and blah, blah, blah. Would I like to get, honestly, a little more attention once in a while on Father's Day and stuff like that? Yeah, guilty as charged. But I do not have a problem with Mama getting more than I do, and rightly so, she deserves it.
All right. Ron, what are your thoughts?
Can you repeat the question? I'm sorry, David. I had to step away for a second.
Oh, what do you think of fatherhood? Do you think the treatment of fatherhood is fair to motherhood?
Well, in this day and age with, you know, with women's rights and all that, I think it's becoming more on par. You know, I still think overall women are treated a little bit differently than men. I'm not going to say better, but just differently. And I think men are sometimes even seen as somewhat of, you know, I hate to say this, but a disposable part of the equation, so to speak.
Ooh,
and I think, Well, you know, it's with feminism and all that. I mean, you've got all these women that think they can bring up families without the male counterpart, and I think I don't know. I'm guessing, but I think it may be a growing trend. I hope I'm wrong, but maybe it is. I don't know.
Okay, about you, Michael, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I definitely think it's an unfair treatment, but, you know, rightfully so. I mean, the mother, she carried the child in her body for 9 months. She pushed it, you know, she gave birth. So I don't have a problem with it being unfair, but it's definitely, definitely totally unfair.
All right. Darius, what are your thoughts?
The woman, the mother deserves to be doted on more and approved, you know, and loved more and respect. Well, I won't say respect, but to be showered with gifts and affection because she's there more. In a traditional role, the mom is the caretaker. She's the nurturer. So I understand that. Now legally, if we want to go there, fathers are treated terrible. And there ought to be something done about the laws of how fathers are just treated as I think it was Ron that said they were treated like they're disposable. You know, men are treated like they're just sperm donors. And whenever, especially in a situation where they're non-married, you know, the father is just looked at as a paycheck. That's it. And, you know, the mom doesn't have to know the dad 5 minutes, but if that act took 5 minutes or less and she has a baby, then all of a sudden he owes her the rest of his life and she doesn't owe him anything. So that portion of it is totally unfair.
Okay.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Don, what do you think?
I do too. I think you're right on target, Darius. You're right on target. And, you know, we'll see next month when Father's Day rolls around. I mean, you know, Mother's Day, they're already geeking it up. Society is saying, hey, you got to buy some Mother's Day presents. But the thing is, in June, when Father's Day rolls around, you know, they got this, we'll buy them a tie.
One more question. Be hugged. Does it feel clingy if a wife or a girl offers it every now and then? What are your thoughts on that one, Ron?
Well, I'm a big hugger, and you know, I like cuddling and things like that. Obviously, sex is preferable, but you know, the hugging part is always very nice. So, what was the question?
Does it feel clingy if a girl offers it every now and then?
Would I be offended? No.
Okay. All right. What about you, Don?
Hey, David, like I said before, I think women need to be especially if that's your husband. You need to be more aggressive. I mean, there's nothing wrong with women being more aggressive. Nothing wrong with that. It kind of helps the guy, you know, build his masculinity.
Yes, sir, Don. Yes, sir.
All right. So, Michael, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, Wiggins, you're my boy, you know that, but I'm going to push back on the aggressive woman. That's the last thing I want is a very aggressive woman. I've dated aggressive women in the past, and that's not what I, as a man, don't want that. I mean, because it gets to the point where now she's the man, and I'm the woman in the relationship, and she wants to be the boss. She wants to be the leader in the relationship, and they're too aggressive.
No, I'm talking about your wife now. Hey, Michael, I'm talking about your wife now. Not an outside woman, a girlfriend. I'm talking about your wife.
Right, right. But if my wife was aggressive, then that would be a problem. When I first started dating her, if she had been an aggressive type of woman, I wouldn't have moved forward in the relationship with her. So, no, I don't want her to be a switch card being aggressive either.
No.
To the hug question real quick, David. I'm not a big hugger. Like, you don't have to hug me every 5 minutes. You know, a hug every now and then when I see you when you leave, that's cool. But, no, I'm not a big clingy hugger all day type of person.
All right, Darius, what are your thoughts?
Men are not complicated, but I want to say there is no one answer. We all have love languages, and you have to know the love language of the person that you're dating. You have to be able to read his reaction and his responses. Some men, you know, they want to be, you know, their love language is affectionate. It is personal touch. So you just got to be able to read the person you're dating. I'm not going to say there's one answer for all men.
All right.
But read the book, the five love languages.
Okay. We only got a couple of minutes left. But Bruce, why don't you ask this question, and there's one more important one I want to come up after this. But Bruce, to answer the question I just asked about the hug.
I think Don was leaning towards more passionate showings of things with your spouse. If he did, I agree with that wholeheartedly. And as far as hugs, I don't want him. I would like more at the right place that she reads you. But like a lot of people say, love you, love you, love you, as they go in and out the door. I don't want a hug to become just some automatic thing that doesn't mean anything. But it can also be enhanced by using it at times your spouse doesn't expect it.
All right, quick question. We only got a minute left. Let me ask one or two people this question. Should a man buy his wife a Mother's Day gift or just his mom? Why don't you answer that one? Let's see. Wow. Don?
Well, when my mother was living, I'd buy both of them. But now that she's going home to be with the Lord, I'd buy my wife a Mother's Day gift. And then I encourage the kids, my daughters and my grandkids, to buy her a gift. And normally, I have to fund that.
All right. we want to thank you for listening to the man's voice. We will not be here next week because the men need to spend time with their wives on Mother's Day. So we will be back the week after. For those that are listening, please be with us. But we're glad that you listened to us, and for all the ladies listening, happy Mother's Day. All right, you guys, have a great week.
Have a good week, everybody.
God bless everybody.
Take care, everyone.
God bless you guys.
You have been listening to The Man's Voice, a pre-recorded show. We'll be back again next week at 6 p.m. Join us for The Man's Voice at 6 p.m. next week. Until then, have a great week. And for all those that are listening, happy Mother's Day.